I want to look in Isaiah, and in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, starts in the 6th verse, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his throne, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This was spoken approximately 740 some years before the birth of Christ. It tells us a child is born, and it identifies who this child will be. Many religions say, yes, he was a prophet. Many religions say that he was one of the sons of God. But all that within itself falls short of what the Word says. We must accept that one that was to come would be born of a child, of a virgin, and that one would be the Christ. He would be the Son of the living God, and not only would he be the Son of the living God, he would become the everlasting Father. He would be the Prince of Peace, and all that they set upon the throne of David, and all judgment would come, amen, under his hand, amen, and to establish and to usher this in, amen. Then we go to Matthew, and one of the scriptures that I love so much, I remember one of the restaurants back years ago, I was in a town back in the 70s, the late 70s, into the early 80s, I was in a town pastoring a church, and the finances was hard, and we had to work to help care of the church and to survive, and God gave me some restaurants. I had two of them, and the first one done good for a season, and then it began to slump, and God had given me the second one that out of divine, just a divine miracle that we had the second one. And that restaurant, as we worked in it, it carried both of them and carried us unto an hour. The Lord said that that was time for us to move. And this beside of the front door, and I've seen people grab the handle to go out the door, and they would about stand up on the door handle, as the old saying goes, because it would shock them so. Amen. But we had this verse upon the door, and a big plaque beside the door, and it was not just a seasonal thing. I don't believe that Jesus is seasonal. I believe he's for all seasons. I believe he's for all time. I believe he's for all hours. Amen. We put out the Christmas stuff. Our ministry runs a thrift store, and we'll box up after Christmas. We'll box up box and box, because it looks like the season was cut short and snowed out, so there'll be box after box of Christmas items that don't sell. And it's kind of seasonal. You'll have to box that up and put it up for until next year if there's any hope of doing anything with it. And that's the seasonal part of it. That's the holiday part of it. Amen. And I know the government is making statements that there will be, you know, people that cannot say Merry Christmas. They've got to use the word holidays. And there was some rulings passed that in the schools and all government-funded operations could not have anything to do with a major scene or anything to do with anything of that nature. They could have a Santa Claus, or they could have a Frosty the Snowman. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not into Santa Claus. If it busts your bubble to tell you that Santa Claus is hatched right out of the pit of hell, then I busted your bubble, amen. And you folks out there teaching your kids about Santa Claus is teaching them a pagan, ungodly lie, and you need to repent of it and tell them, amen, the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas, the reason for the season, is Jesus. Amen. I'm not a very popular feller because I cut through the chase and get right to the meat of the issue. The meat of the issue, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, as the old saying goes, because they have turned against Jesus Christ and his birthday and the one holiday that is his. Amen. They have turned against that. They have educated our kids against him. Our government, our president, in his inaugural speech, actually even made a statement accepting all the atheists in the country. First president that ever said something like that, an abomination in the sight of God, accepting that atheist, amen, was recognized. Amen. I don't believe there's a true atheist. I believe there's a lot of ignorant people that are too something or other to serve God, and they cop out by saying, I'm an atheist. Amen. Because every time they mash their finger, they take his name in vain, or they call on Jesus. Amen. I've told people, I say, you are sure must have go to Sunday school. Oh no, preacher, we don't go to Sunday school. We don't believe in God. I said, you are a barefaced liar. Why do you curse his name? Why do you say Jesus every other breath? Why do you take God's name in vain if you don't believe in him? Amen. I'm telling you, it's time that we get down to business. It's time that we go back to preaching where it takes the hide off. Amen. Jesus did not open his mouth unless he rebuked somebody or took the hide off. And we've got the Tiny Tim tiptoe through the tulip preachers today that are preaching in the pulpit, making sure they don't offend nobody, making sure they don't bring nobody under conviction, and making sure by the authority of God's word they need to be saved. We'll have to get the preachers in the American pulpit saved if we ever bring Christianity back in America. Amen. Amen. 85% of the preachers, amen, in America don't believe in the virgin birth, don't believe in the coming of the Lord, does not believe the message of Christmas, does not believe any of this stuff. What in the world are they preaching for? They're preaching to fill their fat bellies. They're preaching for filthy lucre's sake. And God forbid that this word be preached for filthy lucre's sake. Amen. It's time we go back to the old landmarks and the old standards, amen, and preach the word with truth, amen. But we've got all of these preachers that are in the pulpit that are telling them that everybody's saved and telling them you can sin all you want to, amen. And they don't even know how to tell somebody to be born again. They don't even know how to lead somebody to the throne of grace, amen. I'm going to tell you something. It takes conviction by the Holy Ghost of God that men and women can be saved. Amen. It takes God convicted by the Holy Ghost, amen, to be saved. Amen. And you must, as preachers, listen, I've had evangelists when I pastored in one of the organizational churches I pastored. For years I pastored in non-denominational churches, but back before that, in one of the holiness churches I pastored in, I'd have evangelists in. And God would be leading for somebody to be saved. And you'd almost have to tell the evangelist to shut his mouth so God could work. Amen. I've had them, amen, get up in the pulpit and do their stuff, and there was people there to be saved, amen. I remember one preacher, amen, that he was in the pulpit preaching, and God was convicting and moving, and people started running to the altar, and he kept trying to preach over top of it, and he turned around and told me, these are the most disrespectful people I've ever preached to. I said, you idiot, these people are being drawn by the Holy Ghost, and you don't even know the Holy Ghost is in the building. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, amen. God's got the situation in control. And listen, preachers have been guilty of taking this thing out of God's hand, amen, and trying to do it themselves and trying to show people what they can do. Let me tell you something. Let's hide behind Calvary's cross so that God himself might be exalted. Let's lift up Jesus. And if we'll lift up Jesus, the Bible said he'll draw all men unto him. Let's lift up that name name of Jesus. Let's declare that name of Jesus. Let's give Jesus a birthday. Let's tell him, Jesus, we praise you. We accept this season as your birthday. Let's get rid of the Christmas trees. Let's get rid of all the tinsel and the ornaments. Let's get rid of Frosty the Snowman. Send him back and run over him with a truck, amen, and put him in the trash where he belongs. Let's take old Santa Claus and rip his red suit off, amen. Glory to God. Let's get back to the landmarks. Amen. I see good Christian men, the pest to be good Christian men, put on red suits and play Santa Claus. Amen. I want to tell you something. You can't, listen, you can't serve the devil and God at the same time. And you can't play Santa Claus and celebrate Jesus Christ. Amen. And a lot of the churches, amen, actually even have Santa Claus up in their churches. And I don't mean to black nobody's eye, but might as well say it like it is. Amen. A lady asked me the other day, she said, do you know a church anywhere in the country that's having a Christmas play about Jesus? She said, I've called all over the country and I can't find one. The big thing this year, and I know somebody won't like this, but that's, amen, that's the way it is, amen. They say this big celebration of Mayberry, and somebody said they turn it around on the tail end of it, amen. Why don't we take Jesus to the congregations? Why don't we take the Son of God to the congregations? Why don't we tell them to throw out their Christmas trees and throw out all this ungodly hullabaloo of Christmas? They say, are you old Scrooge? I'm Scrooge. I'm Mr. Scrooge Sr. when it comes to that stuff. Call me Scrooge, call me anything you want to. But when you replace the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with a hullabaloo of Frosty the Snowman and of Santa Claus and all this plays and stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and his birth, I'm going to tell you something. It don't belong in the church. It don't belong in the home of a Christian. The Bible said this is a pagan tradition. And the Bible said, amen, that this is a part of the heathen. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, I'm telling you the truth. We allow it and we condone it, but then we say we don't believe it. I put a wreath on my back door and a wreath on my front door. Amen. I told my wife that's about the limit of our Christmas decorations. I put a nativity scene in here in the lobby like thing where in the hallway between the school and the office, and I put some red bows, you know, but I can't find no place for Santa Claus or Frosty the Snowman. Amen. And I stand against the filth and the pollution that's in our government. I stand against what's in our public school systems. Amen. I stand against, amen, the pagan ways. I stand against, amen, the heathenistic ways that the American people have stooped down to. I stand against it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I'll be as Noah. You know, Noah preached for 120 years. They mocked him and made fun of him. But they sure didn't make fun of him and mock him when the rain got up under their nostrils. And they climbed on the tallest mountain and got on the tallest tree and got up till the limbs wouldn't hold them and they were still snorting water in their nostrils. They didn't call him crazy then. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says few be there that make it. Bible says it's going to be like the days of Noah. Amen. Amen. I know it's a hard battle for those that walk it straight. It's a hard battle here. But I got the peace of God and the satisfaction of knowing that God's word is a reality and our ministry is a reality in what we do. Amen. Too many people want to play church. Amen. I want to have church. Amen. I'm asking God for this coming year. God, let me be drawn and let them be drawn to these altars. People that want the Holy Ghost in the old-fashioned way. They want to be saved. Amen. And they want the old-fashioned move of God. Amen. There's not hardly any churches anywhere in this part of the country. I was thinking this morning, Where is their church in this county, Carroll County or Floyd County? Let's let the Holy Ghost move in their services and letting God be God. Amen. There's very, 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 very few. Amen. You can probably count them on one hand and might have to not use all the fingers, because so many of them are after number. They're after the fanciness of their church. They're after money and finances. They're after everything but letting God just come and be God. Amen. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. And I've asked God, God, give us some people. Give us some people. The people we have here believe in the move of the Spirit. The people we have here, amen, are open to God's Holy Ghost. And I'm saying, God, give me a number. Give me a number. I don't care, Lord, if it's 1 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. But, Lord, give me a number that wants to have church in the Spirit. Amen. That wants to do it the old-fashioned way, where the power of God falls and the Holy Ghost comes down and draws people to Calvary's, amen, draws them to the bleeding side of Calvary's Lamb, and it allows God Almighty to move and walk the avenues of the souls and of the building, and God, that'll be God, amen. I want that kind of move of God. That's what I want. Now, the Word of God says in the New Testament in Matthew, back to the Scriptures, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she, this is that golden verse, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord prophet by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted is God with us. And that happened just exactly like God said. And I know the world tries to mock it and scoff it. They try to say that, you know, she was pregnant out of wedlock, and they've made every statement they can say. But I'm going to tell you something. God said it with his word. She was with child by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you go, we find this in verse 13 of the Gospel of St. John, in the first chapter, verse 13. Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Amen. Full of grace and truth. Amen. This is what the Word of God said. Amen. He wasn't born of the will of flesh, amen. He wasn't born by the will of man, but of the will of God, amen. And he was not born of blood, amen. It was by spirit, amen. And we must have in our lives that spiritual rebirth that's not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, not by natural blood. We had a physical birth that was by water, amen. We was birthed into this life, amen. But when Jesus, amen, came, it was by the will of God, amen. And we must give up our will, amen. And that's what being born again is giving up your will over into God, that God's will be established within you, amen. And when God's will is established within you, amen, then you become born, amen, of the Spirit of God, amen. And it's not a man thing that man does by his works, and amen, the good works come after, amen. But you come to God the way you are, and if you're a sinner listening to me this morning in this broadcast, you have to come to God, amen. That old song, amen, that we've heard sing so many times, just as I am without one plea, amen. We've got to come. We can't say to God, well, God, my daddy was a preacher. My grandma and my grandpa were both dedicated Christians, give all their life to you. We can't say to God, amen, all right, God, amen, I'm so-and-so. I got so much money in the bank. I'm born to this lineage or that lineage. We got to come without one plea and say, God, here I am, an old wretched sinner, lost and undone, amen, and I accept you and believe in my heart and confess with my mouth my sins, and I give my life, I give my will, I give my purpose, I give my cause, I give it over to you. Amen. Not too many folks willing to do that. Amen. And that's the reason, amen, the big majority of people sitting in churches are not saved. They're church members, but they ain't saved. Amen. We need, by the authority of God Almighty, amen, we need to be born by the Spirit, amen, and then we're saved, amen, by his grace and his mercy, amen. In Luke, amen, in the second chapter, I've thought about this many, many times, and I want to close with this, amen. And this verse tells me something in the natural that reminds me so much of something in the spiritual, amen. Now, the first part of this natural is of the spiritual. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now, this is very much scriptural to the fulfillment, amen, of the scriptures, amen, of what God's word has said. In Luke, the writer of Luke, the physician, brought it out so plainly. But then it goes to a verse in the close of that verse. Because there was no room for him in the inn. Now that inn is spelled I-N-N. Now, you think about that for just a few minutes. Here she was with child, and she was carrying the Son of God. She was carrying the Son of God that was not by the will of man or flesh, not by blood, but was by the Spirit. And she was living in an area, and it would come time to her have this child, there was no place for her to go. She was trying to get into an inn, a place where she could have this child. But they wouldn't even accept her, take her in that setting of the I-N-N. So here the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the beginning, amen, and the end, all rolled in one. The Son of the Most High God, the one that was with God in the beginning and proceeded out of the mouth of God and was spoken forth and became flesh. This was the hour that he was to become flesh. Probably the greatest event of that up to that time that had ever been to mankind. And here Joseph and Mary trying to find a place to have this Christ child, and knocked on the door of the inn, and they said, go away, we have no place for you. These folks was rejected, laughed at, no doubt scoffed and mocked and made fun of. They didn't even let them in the inn. And we find the setting, God noted from the beginning, we find the setting of the scripture prophesied that she would be born in a manger. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You get out right there in an old stable, as old saying goes, and if you've ever been around where there's any animals, amen, it stinks. A manger out in an old stable is not a very pleasant place. Here was the Son of God. Here was the King of Kings, the one that was to become the everlasting Father, made his entrance into this world. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it real sincerely. What makes you think? What makes you think that everybody's going to love you and accept you? Preachers, I hope some of you are home from church today that you're listening to me preach. What makes you think everybody's supposed to love you? I'm going to tell you something. If you're preaching a message where everybody loves you, you got problems. If you're preaching a message that everybody's bringing everything and throwing at your feet, amen, you've got a problem. Because Mary carried the Son of God, and they wouldn't make room for her nowhere. She had to go with her husband out to an old manger, out to an old place where they kept animals, amen, and take refuge in that to birth the Christ child. And I've thought about this ever since I ever read that first scripture. God was typing, shadowing an end. That is I-N-N. But the message is the same. They allowed no room for him. Now we are in the end, the E-N-D, the close of the book. We down to the last of that 69th week, being headlong plunged in the 70th week of Daniel's prophet. And there is no room for him in the end today. Churches have pushed him out the door. Preachers have pushed him out of their messages. Our government have pushed him out of our schools and pushed him out of everything that the government has anything to do with. It's full circle. There's no room for him. They don't want him. But as many as received him, right back to that scripture, as many as received him, gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Lord, in Jesus' name, Savior today to the uttermost, God, we ask you, Lord, to move and anoint by the power and by the Spirit of God. Lord, and touch hearts and souls. Let people be saved. Let them get the true meaning and true purpose of the season. They be born again by the Spirit of God and have life eternally.